Hello, everybody. Welcome to the THB Strength Podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by THB Strength Online Coaching, the premier coaching program for jumping higher and getting rid of knee pain. If you are an athlete that wants to add at least 3 inches of vertical in the next 6 months, we have a guarantee that if you don't do that, we're going to coach you for free until you do. So go to THBstrength.com, take advantage of that deal. And without further ado, let's introduce the topic, which is how to listen to your body.
Which this was inspired by, I think, a conversation that we had on the last week's, one of the last week's podcasts. And then also one of our athletes, Nasir. Nasir is one of the guys we've coached for probably, on and off. Technically, we coached him in 2020, and then he came back this year because he was having knee pain. So he's a basketball player in New York, pretty talented player, has potential to be really, really freaky if he can get his knee 100% healthy, and went through the whole season, was able to play, I think, every game outside of a couple because he was sick, not because of his knee, which was a huge accomplishment. He wasn't able to walk down stairs initially, and now he is actually training on what is considered pretty high training loads. And he's doing really well. So he today was talking about, you know, this bone bruise that he has. And Isaiah and I got to talking. We're like, you know, it's probably one of the most undervalued or underestimated skills that super elite guys have comparatively. Like, you know, if you're looking at 2024 compared to like 2012 or 2008, even those pro dunkers at that time. Like, what separates the guys now is their ability to listen to their body. Like, Kilgannon, Chris Staples, Isaiah, Jay Clark, like, one of the reasons that they've been able to continue to improve over the course of, I don't even know how many years, is because they listen to their body. And I think some guys just, especially in our training, they just fucking suck. Like, they're really bad at it. And if you're one of our athletes and you're like, yeah, I suck at this, this is probably an underrated skill that if you develop over time is really going to help you make adjustments to your own training or even communicating things or not being up our ass and still knowing what you need to do because that can, you know, increase autonomy, which increases compliance and will increase your consistency over time. So without, I guess, further ado, what are a couple ways that you, I guess, practice this on a day-to-day basis?
I mean, I guess first we have to define what do we mean by listening to your body. Yeah, I think the skill specifically is listening to your body, because your body is basically, it's constantly communicating to you, specifically with pain, I believe, and discomfort. Your body is giving you signals, right? So the skill that we're specifically talking about is listening to those signals and then making the correct decision based on those signals. And that skill in of itself is low-key one, is probably the most valuable thing for long-term athletic development. Like, if you don't have that skill, it doesn't matter how good your training is, eventually a hiccup will occur, an injury is going to inevitably pop up.
I don't know any athlete that I've coached at a high level that has never ran into an injury.
Yeah.
Not one.
Inevitably.
Every single athlete I have coached
that
is at that elite level and wants to be world class, and even the ones that want to try to be world class but like maybe don't have the talent level.
And I would even go so far as to say, not just us, every coach ever will have their athlete eventually run into an injury.
If they're telling you that that's not the case, they're lying to you.
They're
100%. Absolutely lying to you. Or their athlete has gotten so good at listening to their body that they don't get hurt because they know better. But that's a really, really difficult skill to develop because you have to know what thresholds to cut certain things off. And specifically, we're talking about pain levels, right? So, you know, if Isaiah's doing a jump session or I'm doing a jump session, what we're paying attention to, and it's a fine line between being hyper conscientious or over, like, hyper vigilant and being able to push the limit of whatever session you're doing to allow for adaptation. And that is really the skill of it, right? You need to know what is an okay, acceptable level of discomfort and what is going to cause long-term damage if I push through it. And so for me, if I'm doing a session and I'm a one-foot jumper, I'm paying attention to what my left patella is telling me, because I need to warm up appropriately and slowly so that I don't push through a certain level of discomfort or a certain effort level too soon that is going to set me back the next week of training. For Isaiah, you know, we talk about tracking all the time. He's a tracking evangelist at this point. The number one worldwide evangelist of tracking. If he doesn't do that appropriately or correctly, i.e. listening to his body, which is just a function of listening to his body, then he will trend downwards week to week or even month to month to where it will lead to him potentially tearing his IT band, or, you know, he hasn't torn his patella or anything else, but it's led to major setbacks that ultimately have cost him, you know, 12 months of high quality training. But because we're good at our job, we've been able to work around it and still get him better. But if he wasn't, if he didn't have that skill at all, we probably never would have gotten back to him testing 50.5 or hopefully 51 this summer.
Yeah. If I didn't have that skill at all, I probably wouldn't be a dunker.
Yeah. So what, I guess here's a question for you. What are the, I guess when you're training and you're going through a session and you're trying to quote unquote listen to your body, what are you paying attention to?
All right, I am paying attention to right now or at the specific moment?
Let's say during last cycle, we were going through the lunges and really, really intense training. Workload was super high. It was brutal.
Okay, so I'm going to start by saying that, I guess, what exactly do we mean by tracking? Tracking is literally just noting down your pain scores for different injuries. So every morning I wake up and I have pain provocation. Is that how you say it?
Provocative
test. You have a pain. I think there's the words provocation, like provocation test.
Provocational. You do a pain provoking activity.
Yeah. Something that hurts.
He does provocative activity.
Yeah. And then I will write down exactly how I feel. So the different injuries, or I guess body parts, I'm not going to say necessarily injuries, is left knee, right knee, left hip. That's basically it. And then I'll do my test, and then I'll write down, left knee, I pushed 100% at a 2 out of 10 pain. Right knee, I pushed 70% at a 3 out of 10 pain. And my hip fell a 2 out of 10 pain at 70%. And I do that every single day. So when I say tracking, that is exactly what I'm talking about. The injury might depend on the person. So it could be your back that you're tracking. It could be your patellar tendinopathy. It could be PFP that you're tracking, ankle sprain, literally anything and everything. I used to do it with the injury that was the most messed up, for lack of a better word. But now I've gone on to track every single body part, every place that I've had injuries in the past before, because I found as soon as I stop tracking, even if it's not an issue, as soon as I stop tracking, I tend to push my body too hard. So like John said, when I'm not tracking, I tend to have a downwards trend in my health. When I am tracking, I have an upwards trend in my health. And the reason that is so important is because you get data and you're able to make decisions based on that data.
And you can't change what you don't track.
Yeah.
Is that the saying?
Yeah, if you don't track it, you won't change it. Because the data is what allows you to make informed decisions. If not, you are making very subjective. You're making decisions on information that isn't very reliable. I was going to say subjective information, but technically the pain test is subjective.
Yeah.
But it's giving you data, and it has a high rate of inter-reliability, right? Intra-rater reliability?
Yeah.
That's such a weird-ass
word. So within yourself, it has a high level of reliability.
Yeah.
So day-to-day, if you're tracking it yourself, then it's relative to you, it's very accurate.
Because for me, a 3 out of 10 might be different from John's 3 out of 10, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that you have a month's worth of data, you know exactly how your pain trended during that month, and you know exactly what you're doing. So the other thing is I write down what the most highly intense thing that I did the previous day was. So today, for example, I'm going to be doing isometrics and panda pulls. I'm going to write set of 6 at 295 front squat. That was probably going to be the most provocative thing I do today.
Set of five.
Set of five.
It's something heavier than that.
Yeah.
I think it's like 2.5% boost.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
So, and then tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm going to write down what my pain levels are. And typically, you want to see that improving or staying at baseline week to week. So, normally we tell athletes a 3 out of 10 pain is acceptable. And that's okay as long as you're staying at a 3 out of 10 Monday to Monday and your training load was the same or even went up, that means function is improving or staying the same. What we never want to see is a downwards trend in those pain scores. So a lot of people might look at my pain scores, right? And I might pull it up today and here, I'll read it just because it looks crazy. They might say right knee 3 at 50%. Left knee, 2 at 100%. PFP, 1 at body weight squat. TFL, 1 at 100%. You might see that and be like, damn, he's really injured. Every body part has an injury. But that's not, what doesn't matter is the pathology. What matters is function increasing? Is pain stable?
Right.
And if those two things are happening, you will make long-term progress in your health.
Yeah, you're really looking at the symptoms of what you're feeling. So for me, I really look at my left knee, either PFP on that knee or patellotendinopathy. And then I pay attention to my Achilles tendinopathy on this leg right now. On the right knee, I was having a little bit of PFP. I tracked it for a day and we have so much data because he's so good at tracking that it resolved itself within 2 days, right? I was loading it too frequently and I was listening to my body, was deciding, hey, I wanna do this 2 times a week of jumping, but I'm seeing that I'm trending downwards by tracking. And so
I want to pull up the message I sent you.
Yeah, Coach Isaiah. I'm definitely doing that this week, by the way. I'm going to like coach you as if I'm an angry college basketball coach. It's going to be hilarious.
So John, he told me how he felt. And then, like he said, I've tracked so much that I kind of, it's made me better as a coach now.
It's funny to see my text not in blue.
Yeah. But John said, I want to lower him. Can I lower him Monday and Thursday? Mondays and Thursday, please, Dad. And I said, no. And then he said, but Dad. And I said, and I quote, you have PFP, you fuck.
Which I was like, oh, yeah, I guess you make a fair point. That would be double down the load. And
because he could. He technically could. But I know from my experience having PFP and having coached other guys, there would be a downwards trend. You might be able to handle it a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but there's going to be a downwards trend. And it's the trend that we always just want to see upwards trend and vertical. And health.
And health, yeah, exactly. And we know that I'll be able to load today and Wednesday. Maybe I get 10 jumps in after I do my power cleans or squats or something. I'm feeling really good. I'm not going to go have a 50-minute session. You know, we will tell guys, try to jump more if you can. This is also me trying to convince Isaiah to let me jump a couple times today because I'm excited. But you know, even that is an example of like, okay, say we tested today and I feel like shit tomorrow or Wednesday, then I know that I can't do that. And maybe I jeopardize me having a session on Friday by testing that. But yeah. The ability to listen to my body and make those judgment calls over time consistently and correctly is going to allow me, like we said, to have upward trajectory in my health and my performance. And so for those of you that are listening to this, if you're one of our athletes, start tracking, A, and B, make sure that you do it consistently and that you're not, you know that fine line of, is this going to make me better tomorrow or next week?
Yep.
And is it going to make me worse? Am I going to go the other direction with this stuff?
That's what I was going to say is the second part of it. So there's tracking and then just answer the question, is it going to make me feel better or worse tomorrow? Answer that accurately and then adjust your training accordingly. And if you're one of our athletes, if you feel like you're about to do something that's going to make you feel worse the next day, don't do it. And then ask us what to do because we'll give you
like if you feel like your back hurts and I put in 6x5 back squats last two sets at 80% or 85%. Don't do that. You know that it's probably going to make it worse. Like that's just a bad idea.
And as you get more experience, you can make the adjustments yourself. Yeah. For example, if
100%. Those are our
I might
best
have,
athletes. Those are
our like best Wednesday. Athletes. Wednesday I'm going to have whatever, 5x5 back squat at 85%.
Austin's weaving behind us, by the way.
So, let's say that's the lift. If my back is sore and then I ask my back is going to be sore, right? And then I'm going to ask myself, am I going to feel better or worse tomorrow? Most likely worse. If the answer is worse, now I'm going to say, okay, what can I do to have the same stimulus as a back squat, as close as possible to it, but I'll feel better tomorrow. For me, front squats, boom. Let's say for you, Oh, and then cut depth. If I do front squats and cut depth, guess what? My back's gonna feel even better, and I'll have been able to load heavily in a specific muscle group. Now, a different athlete, those two things might be provocative. So we might say, get on a leg extension machine, get on a leg press machine. Don't go as deep, or maybe just do the bottoms up part. A lot of different ways to do it, but you can only get good at that stuff and get that experience if you start tracking. Because tracking is gonna give you that data. Oh, I felt worse. What did I do the previous day? Oh, I felt better. What did I do the previous day? If you do that for a month straight, you're gonna be better at listening to your body than 99% of athletes out there.
And what I don't want, what I do not want you guys to do is to be obsessively hypervigilant about paying attention to every little thing you feel in your body. This is not a meditative practice.
We're not telling you to be neurotically be testing.
Yes, yeah. It's just once a day, you
spend in the morning
3 minutes thinking about it. And do not think about it, don't overly assess it, or anything else. If it's less than a 3 or a 4, I pretty much don't want to hear about it, okay? Now, if it's a 3 or 4 and it's getting worse, if you're moving into 5 or 6, which is like, it kind of fucking hurts, then you need to pay attention to it, right? But, you know, some guys are like, oh, I felt a 3. And I'm like, dude, I wake up every day and I might feel a 3 or something like that. You know, ideally, I don't want that to be the case.
It's but like,
after dunking, I might feel a 5 or 6. I might feel kind of shitty. But by Monday, I probably feel fine. So please do not hear what we're saying is, tell us every little scratch. If you get a scratch from
you're gonna note it in the morning.
Like, that's not what we're looking for here, right?
It's like track it, don't think about it, and then anything that's above a 3, or there's been, and I would say above a 3 and it's gotten worse week to week, that's when it's like, oh, I need to make changes.
Yeah.
But aside from that, keep freaking training. don't change things around. And then, yeah, it's just data. Separate yourself emotionally from the data. You got to be, with this stuff, you almost have to be a robot. Like,
yeah, facts don't care about your feelings, okay? So try to remove your emotions from the equation. That said, I don't have much else to add. I feel like we've covered that pretty thoroughly. So this is probably one of those unspoken skills that elite guys have. I've seen it at every level, or every sport, I guess, from track to dunking to so basketball. I'm sure these guys are, LeBron is probably incredible at it. That's probably why he's able to play at the age he is. So yeah, take that for what it is. And if you guys are watching this on YouTube, make sure you like and you comment. That's the least you can do for us. It helps the algorithm, and the infamous algorithm is what determines our success in life. So if you want to see more content from us, then make sure you do at least that. If you're listening on a streaming platform, if you can give it 5 stars or subscribe if it gives you the option to do so, make sure you do that. And obviously, if you're looking for coaching, go to thbstrength.com to get the absolute best training in the entire world.
All right.
See you guys.
Catch you guys in the next episode. It would be really cool to talk to LeBron about his body. Like, not about basketball, but just like, what injuries have you felt with? What would you do if
when I sit over here, actually?
Has your knee ever hurt?
What is the exposure? Am I raising the exposure or lowering the exposure today?
Plus 1.7.
Let's go! All right. If I wear white and black, the exposure levels are appropriate. Cool. See you guys.